Anyway, today is a special day. As we all know, it's Father's Day tomorrow. Tomorrow's a special day, not today. Well, today's special because it's the Sabbath. I've got to slow down and get my brain and mouth working together here. But tomorrow is a very special day, Father's Day. And as we know, many families around the world are in trouble. They're falling apart from within, just crumbling, and that is causing problems all around the world. Because when you have a breakdown of the family, it's a major reason that the world itself is breaking down. No stability, no guidance, no leadership. And the family has been a key factor in keeping not only their family, but keeping countries strong. If you look back on the history of this country and you see the families that were around during the war and through all of the tragedies that happened and families that came together and were strong and worked together by themselves and in neighborhoods and just as groups and supported what the government was doing here to keep this country safe. The father of the family working to provide for his wife and children. The mother back then, and it's not so much now because the situation is that women, wives, mothers have to leave the home to work in order to meet the financial obligations. But at one time that wasn't so. And the mothers could stay home and raise their children. And what more important job could a person have, a father or a mother, than to raise their family? Raise children that respect and obey their parents. And as a team, fathers and mothers working together, following God's laws, following God's commandments, can do that. They can teach their children the right way, the values, the right values of life. They can teach them to be successful. And as a team, a mother and father expressing their love for their children and their love for each other set the proper example for our children to grow up in. You know, families are so dysfunctional today, and when you look at TV, you see a big reason why. One of the top-rated shows, and I've never watched the show, I've seen the trailers for it, is Modern Family. That's great. I mean, that show is very popular. But young children look at that and say, okay, this is the accepted family. This is what a family should be. And that's what they're growing up to believe, unless we as parents teach them different. Unless we as fathers take the lead role and teach our children that, no, that's not God's way. That may be man's way, a perverted way without God, but that's certainly not God's way. But we have a challenge on our hands as fathers, and that's to protect our children, because if we don't, who will? Who's going to do it for us? We see that the world doesn't do it because they will accept anything. Anything goes. It's difficult to find a strong, well-grounded family today. In many families, the father isn't around. Just not there, for whatever reason. And there are a lot of single moms that have to do that, be mother and father both, to their children. And it's difficult when there are a pair, a mother and a father both, but when there's just the mother, it becomes more and more difficult for her. But that role of the father, that leader, is something that's missed. And it shows. And we see the results of that as we look around the world, as we look around at our coworkers, at our schoolmates, of just seeing what's taking place around the world. The one whose responsibility it is to hold the family together for one reason or another isn't there. It's a big void there. Just not there. And today I want to talk about the responsibility of a father. A very important responsibility, and that's the title of my message as well. the responsibility of a father. If you turn with me to Genesis 18. Genesis 18. Genesis 18 and in verse 17. Here, God's beginning to deal with Abraham, building that relationship with him, giving him instructions, giving him directions. In Genesis 18 and verse 17, it says, "And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm doing? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him." Those blessings that God promised Abraham that we reap today, those blessings. But instructions to Abraham, teach your children, teach your household my ways, so that they know right from wrong, so that they know what's proper, so that they know what glorifies God. God said here, I've known him. That relationship that Abraham had with God. Do we as fathers have that relationship with God? Do we work on that relationship? Does our family know that we have a relationship with God? Do they see it in the way we act, in what we do, and how we run the house? There are many descriptions of what families see their father, see the father in that family as. Some see a father as a person who finds it tough to show emotion. Now, there was never in my family, emotion was never shown. And that was something that was passed down to me and some of the other, I know, some of my other brothers. I'm not a sissy. I'm not going to show emotion. I'm not going to cry. I'm not going to hug. We don't do those things. A lot of men have a problem showing emotion. That's just the way we were brought up. Women do that. Kids do that. But men, we don't do that. God shows emotion. Jesus Christ shows emotion. A father is a person who finds it tough to hang around the house. They hurry off to the office. They hurry off to the golf course. They hurry off to anywhere but home. Dad's never around. He's always gone somewhere. Always finding something to do. Well, we as a father have to realize that home, as they say, is where the heart is. That's where our family is. That's where our wife is. That's where our children are. Why would we not want to spend time with them? Why would we put other things first? Our job, our hobbies, anything else but our family. As a father, we shouldn't be putting anything else first. Some see a father as a person who protects his family, that his children are confident in, and his wife is confident in the fact that the father is going to be there for them. He'll protect us. Nothing will happen to us. No harm will come to us as long as Dad's around. He'll take care of it. He will make sure that we're protected. A father is a person who tears up when he hands over his daughter to her new husband on their wedding day. And any of you fathers that have done that knows how that feels. You do. You're giving your daughter away to another man. A time that's very emotional. But a loving father who loves his family couldn't help or couldn't hold those emotions back. But that's a real father who has those emotions and isn't afraid to be exposed. A father is a person who's smart, strong, and always there to help. I hope my children think I'm smart. I hide all of my mistakes from them. I don't tell them about them. They know about some, but I hope my children look at me in that way, and I hope we all look at our fathers in that way. That they're smart, strong, and always there to help, because that's the way it should be as a father. That's how we should be there. That our children, our wife, can depend on us no matter what. We're going to drop whatever we have to drop to be there for them. And we'll look now at a few of the major responsibilities a father has, because there are a few responsibilities that as a father fall on our shoulders. The first one is the father is a provider for their household. The provider for their household. And a father is charged with providing for his family. His responsibility, 1 Timothy 5, if you turn there. 1 Timothy 5. 1 Timothy 5. 1 Timothy 5 and in verse 8. But if anyone does not provide for his own and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Very important that a father provides for his family. Put those beans on the table if that's all you can afford. Put a roof over your family's head. Put clothes on their back. Providing. Providing doesn't mean you live in the best house in town. You drive the best car and your children are best and the most dressed in the most expensive clothes. What it means is to do your best and provide what you can provide. I remember my children, my boys especially, and I think probably Amy poked fun at me too, but we would buy their clothes and then I would end up when we would get ready to go to a YOU sporting event or something, and my shoes had on the back of them MTA. And that stood for Meyer Thrifty Acres. That's because on my boy's shoes and Amy's shoes, it said Adidas and all of the big names. And with the money I had left, I had to go to Meyer's and get my shoes. My kids just said, Dad, you're not going out of the house wearing those shoes, are you? I said, well, sure. But, you know, I wanted to provide for them because I didn't want to put them in the same position I was. They were making fun of me. I didn't want somebody making fun of them. But we provided what we could provide. And my boys didn't stop. They couldn't stop at a size 9. No way. Normal people stop at a size 9. They had to go on to a 12, which increased big time what we had to pay for tennis shoes. And I told them, I pay more for your tennis shoes than I have paid for a car. And they thought I was kidding, and I wasn't kidding. And the car was not a beauty, I'll grant you that. But we could provide. You know, sometimes I had to work an extra job or work two jobs or whatever to provide. But as a father, it was my responsibility to do that. And they, my kids have never asked, and I'm thankful for that. They've never asked for anything fancy. They just wanted, you know, to look normal, I guess. If that's what it amounted to, but they just wanted to have what they needed, and as a father, it was my job to provide that, and I wanted to do it. I appreciated the opportunity to do it, but that's our job. We can't turn it over to other people to do that. Who's going to do it if we as fathers don't? You work one job, two jobs, three jobs. You do what you have to do to make it happen. A Christian father is to provide for his own household, and failure to do so is not holding up your part of the bargain. And it says here in Scripture, it's equal to denying your faith, because as Christians, we ought to have enough faith to go to God and say, God, I need to provide for my family, and I'm having a difficult time doing that. Can you please help me? Help me to be able to do that. That's our part. That's part of our faith. But Paul said in Thessalonians that if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. And we live in a country that provides for people, that no longer requires people to work for what they have. We become a welfare state here in this country. And I've said this before, I think, when I was young and our family was on welfare, my dad was required to work 35 hours for the city. Well, city for Stockbridge, not much of a city. But if he didn't work there, he didn't get anything. He got nothing. So he had to go produce something, instead of home watching Jerry Springer, produce something. And that's what they used to have people do, but now it's discrimination, says our government leaders. So we don't do that anymore. But it helped a father who was even out of a job, had no means of income, it still helped him in that way provide for his family. And it wasn't only my dad, there were other men there in the same situation. But they did what they had to do to provide for their family. And when we as fathers feel that we're burdened down by the heavy responsibilities, and believe me, as a father, you know the responsibilities of raising children gets heavy, can get very heavy. But we have to remember what it says in Matthew chapter 11, if you turn there with me. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. We have to remember where to go, what to do, how to solve the problem, how to fix it. Matthew chapter 11 and in verse 28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We go to God. That's not only being burdened down spiritually, that's being burdened down physically. We need help. We go to God. Father, help me to fulfill my responsibilities as the leader of my family. God will be there. God will give us strength through His Holy Spirit. He will help us. He will answer our prayers. Help us to be the provider of our family, as we should be. Another thing a father should be, another responsibility, is to be the protector of his household. The protector of his household. When a father isn't there to protect his family, a lot of things happen. And there's no guarantee, there's no 100% guarantee that these things won't happen. But they increase big time when the father isn't in the picture. There's an increase in teen suicide, in teen drug abuse, sexual promiscuity, to epidemic numbers when the father is not there. It's estimated that every 30 minutes, 20 teens attempt to end their life. Every 30 minutes, 23 teen girls have abortions. Over 3 million American teens have been treated for alcoholism since 1980. And between 8,000 and 9,000 teens are killed while driving drunk. Those are big numbers. All young people. A loving, respected father can protect his children many times from getting involved with all of these things. Because if those children have a father who will listen, who cares for them, who will guide them, who puts them above his job or his hobby or anything else, things can change. Again, it's no guarantee. It's a big, bad world out there, a lot of influences. We deal with a lot of negative influences, and our children do too. And if a father has a good relationship with God and mimics that relationship with his family, he'll provide a Christian foundation that they can build on. If we're close to God, if we lean on God, if we turn to God, and our family knows that, and we pass that on to our family and do that as a family. If we as fathers are also good husbands, as we should be, that sets an example for our children. If we love our spouse, and we show that we love our spouse, and our children know that fact, Dad loves mom, no doubt about it. We don't argue, we don't fight, we don't bicker, we don't do anything but show support for one another and support for our children. I would ask this of the fathers, do we truly love our wives? And of the wives, I would ask, do you truly love your husband? That's where it starts. And if we as fathers are also good husbands, we should be, as we should be, that sets an example for our children to follow. If they see a good, honest, hard-working man who leads their family, who loves their mother, who loves them and teaches them, would they not want to be like their dad? Ephesians 25, very familiar verses, but very important verses for a strong family. Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5 and in verse 25. Ephesians 5 and in verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Fathers, love your wives. Be willing to lay down your life for your wife, just as Jesus Christ laid his life down for us. Chapter 5 and verse 22, wives, submit. And that word submit has been abused so many times. But it says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Submit. Be a partner. Be a team player. Get on board together, turning yourselves over to God and asking God to guide and direct the partnership. Back when I first started coming to church, and some of you will remember that, I mean, men took these verses, especially that one, and, woman, I'm in charge here. Submit. Now, if I would have said that to my woman, I would have seen her coming toward me with a baseball bat. She was going to submit something, but it wasn't going to be to me. It was going to be she was going to submit some punishment. But, you know, we take things like that and we look and, you know, God's balanced. God's not out here in left or right field. He's balanced. He wants that love between a man and a woman to be equal on both sides. He wants us as parents to work together equally to teach and train our children as we should. In verse 32 it says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. A partnership. Working together. Nobody lording anything over anybody. But working together to raise a family. A family that fears and respects and glorifies God. And it even has something here for the children. Chapter 6 and verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Now, as parents, if we don't obey God, why in the world would our children even think about obeying us? They see that example. But if we obey God, they will follow that example. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Teach them God's way. That's what we're told to do. Teach them God's way. If we as fathers protect our family by honoring and glorifying God by the way we live, we, along with our family, will be blessed for that. God will bless those who are obedient to Him. The father should also be the disciplinarian for the family. The father should be the disciplinarian for the family. Let's turn to Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13 and in verse 24. Proverbs 13, verse 24, he who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. Well, we know that God loves us, but we also know that God disciplines us so that we can learn, so that we can be better and not make that same mistake again. But this is the first of several proverbs on parental discipline. Children need discipline. We as adults need discipline. And with God's help, we know never, never to punish our children when we're angry. That's something we learn as we study into the Scriptures, as we study how God deals with us, to never correct our children when we're angry, but correct them in love, teaching them the mistake they made, how to prevent it, why it was a mistake, and how we can help them. How we can help them. And we teach them in love. A father's son skipped school for 3 days. He just decided, I think I'll take a couple days off from school. Is that familiar to anybody? But anyway, he skipped 3 days of school. When his father found out, he was a little upset. So he told his son, he said, well, you skipped 3 days of school, the punishment's going to fit the crime. So what I want you to do, I want you to sleep up in the attic all by yourself, and I want you to stay up there 3 days. There's a bed up there. We'll get you 3 meals a day. You stay up there for 3 days. That was the punishment. So when the father went to bed that evening, he couldn't sleep. Just kept bothering him that his son was up there all by himself. So he got up out of bed, went up the stairs, opened the door, and he saw his son laying there awake. Couldn't sleep either. So he went over to his son, gave him a hug, laid down with him. And for the 3 nights he was up there, the father went up there every night and slept with his son. He wanted to punish his son, but he knew he had done it in the wrong way. That would be like God punishing us and turning his back on us. God doesn't do that. And he knew that his son could learn, but he knew that he had made a mistake by turning his son away from him. His son needed him at that time. And he realized he needed to be there. The son got the message that what he did was wrong. And although the son was being punished, the father never left him alone. Never left him by himself. Just like God will never leave or forsake us. That's what Scripture tells us. He may punish us, but he won't leave us. And that's what we have to do as a father. Punish our children, discipline our children, but never leave them. Fathers set a pattern for their family. Fathers set a pattern for their family. It's a father that had too much to drink. He's getting a little snackered around the house, and just across the field there was a bar over there. So the father decided, well, I'll just walk over there and have a few more drinks. So as he was walking through the field, he heard something behind him, and he turned around, and his little son was there, his young son. His father said, what are you doing, son? And he said, well, Dad, I'm walking in your footsteps. I want to be like you. And the father put his arm around the boy, and they walked back to the house. Our children watch what we do. They see what we do. They want to be like Dad. They want to be like Mom. So it's very important what we do, the example that we set. One church congregation did some research on families. They found that both parents that attended church and were faithful to God, in those families, there were a 93% chance the children will stay faithful. If only one parent is faithful, the percentage drops down to 73%. When both parents were part-time Christians, only 53% of the children remained faithful. When both parents only came to church once in a while, the percentage for the children dropped to 6%. It's quite a drop. Down to 6%. That example of parents and what they do. The example they're setting for their children. Church isn't important to my mom and dad. It's not important to me either. Our children will follow our example. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way that they should go. We train them up by our example. We train them up educating them on God's laws, God's commandments. This means we train them to follow our example. Not just do what I say, but do as I do. Obey God. And then explain to them why. But fathers, our responsibilities are huge. They're gigantic. When you think about it, they're gigantic. If anybody signs a $6 million contract for a year, it ought to be a father. Because that's where the big job's at. That's where the important jobs are at. Turn to Deuteronomy 6. Again, scriptures that we're very familiar with, scriptures that we've read time and time again, but very important, and very important especially if we're not getting it. And maybe we need to study these scriptures more and more because these are scriptures that every father should know. Every father should live by. Deuteronomy 6, and beginning in verse 6, and this is Moses giving Israel commandments from God, giving them direction. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. They're going to be something you won't forget. You shouldn't forget. You better be serious about what I'm telling you. You better listen to what I'm telling you. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. This is your life. This is who you are. This is who your children should see. This is who your wife should see. This is a person who obeys God, who is loyal to God, who's committed to God. And that certainly doesn't make any father perfect, but it puts them on the right track. And by them being on the right track, their family will be as well. But there's a checklist that we as fathers can follow. We hear almost every day on the news about parents, and it's usually the father. And if it is the mother, you could almost guarantee that the father's not in the home if the mother's the one involved in this. But it's usually the father who's at a sporting event with their family, and they get into a fight. They get into a fight with another parent. They might go over and punch the coach. They might tackle a referee for a call they thought was the wrong call. But they do this in front of everybody, and especially in front of their children. That's the example they're setting. And a lot of mothers do it. More mothers are doing it today. But that's because there's no father in the home. Or if he's in the home, he's just not a part of what's going on. But what an example that's being set. And without some kind of positive direction from a father, the children will probably grow up to make the same mistakes. That's what Dad did. Dad stood up for me, punched that guy's lights out. Dad loves me. That's all the kid knows. That's all he's grown up to see. And at one time, our children could pray in public schools. Can't do that any longer. The public schools, any public education, has really become an enemy of God, of God's truth, because they teach so many things that are in opposition to God's truth. Creation without a creator. We can teach that all day long. We just can't teach God as the creator. And we certainly can't allow our kids to pray because we don't know which God they're praying with, because every one of these people in this room have created their own God. So in order to be fair, we have to pray to all of them, so we just won't allow prayer to any. Sounds good. Makes sense to the human physical mind when you're cut off from God. But our children have no opportunity in the public education, whether it be public school or college or wherever. They just are ridiculed and sometimes punished for their efforts to pray or express their religious beliefs. We've got a society that has made the decision to remove God from our children's public education. We have no control over that. But here's a list of some things we as fathers can do to help our families stay close to God. And again, it falls on our shoulders. It falls right to us. Fathers, do we love and honor our wives? Do our children see us honor and love our wives? The mother, their mother, the mother of our children. Think about how you express that love for your wife. Think about some changes you need to make, and then make them. And if you're doing it perfectly, my suggestion will be to write a book and be on Dr. Phil, because you'll make $1 million. But what changes do we need to make as fathers in that area? And if we go to our Heavenly Father and ask for that strength, we can make those changes. We can all improve. We can all make changes that will be for the good. And as a father, do we listen to what our wife and children say to us? Or are we the person that sits there, it goes in this ear, it's going out this one just as quick? We're busy. Hey, I'm reading. I'm watching. Wait a minute, the news is on. Check with me later. Talk to me later. I got to go. You know, I don't have time for that right now, but we'll get together. You know, like the song, whatever the song was. I can't even remember what it was. Yeah. Very true. Very true words. But that's the way a lot of families operate. That's the way a lot of fathers operate. You know, as a little child, and many of you may have experienced this, you come up with the best idea in the world. It's just fantastic, and you want to share it, and you run into your dad and say, "Dad, I got it. This is going to help mankind." And your dad just looked at you and said, "I don't have time right now. We'll talk later." And you're shot down. Your dad didn't have time for you. How would we feel if when we got on our knees to pray to God, somehow we knew that he was saying, "You know what? I'm kind of busy here. I've got 6 Presbyterians and 2 Baptists I'm working with right now. I don't have time for you." We wouldn't like that very well. We'd feel rejected. We may not even recover from that. But God wouldn't do that. God always has time for us. It's estimated that by the age of 15, a child has asked his parents 500,000 questions. I looked at that number and I couldn't believe that, so I checked it again. 500,000 questions by 15. It's a lot of questions. But I looked at that, that's a lot of opportunity. A lot of opportunity for a father to communicate with his children, to answer their questions, to take time to help them understand God's way of life, to instill true values in them. But that doesn't happen in many homes. The questions might be asked, but they're not answered. So we need to spend time. Take time. Another responsibility is, fathers, give your children a sense of belonging. Make them feel a part of your family. Psalms 127, if you turn there with me. Psalms 127. Psalms 127. Psalms 127 and in verse 3. "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. the fruit of the womb in His reward. How amazing. That's your children and my children. Your grandchildren, my grandchildren. Our heritage. What are we teaching our children? Are we giving them a future? Are we helping them to understand how amazing God is and the future that God has for them? Are we passing that on? If we don't do it, no one will. I guarantee you that. No one will. But our children should always feel accepted, loved, and of worth to their parents. And when children hear their father or even their mother pray for them, pray for their protection, their health, their education, their marriage, these children know that mom and dad love me. Mom and dad are in there on their knees talking to God, asking something for me. And as fathers, we need to praise and hug our children. Praise them. Let them know when they did things right. Let them know how proud you are of them. And give them a hug. Our children are very important. Many of us have grown up in families with fathers that didn't show love in what they said or did. It just wasn't in their nature. They just didn't do it. They weren't brought up that way. So they didn't do that with their own family. Well, even if we weren't brought up that way, we know better now. So we need to change. We need to begin to hug our children. We need to begin to express that love and appreciation for them. You know, when I think of my children and I have to look up to my sons to talk to them, and see Amy and Jeff and three grandbabies, you know, it's just amazing. And we're all blessed with that. We're all blessed with just great families. And they need to know that we appreciate them. And another responsibility, very important, is fathers, spend time with your family. Spend time with your spouse. Spend time with your children. You know, even when our children are grown up and gone away, it's great to have the opportunity to spend a day with them, doing something. It doesn't have to be all that exciting, just spending that time together, roasting a hot dog or just talking, whatever. And if you think you don't have time to spend with your family, we have no excuse. The only thing we can do is make time. Figure it out. Make time. Ephesians 5:15 says to redeem the time, because this time is evil. Redeem that time we can be with our family and our children to talk about God, to pass on a good godly example to them, because what they deal with out in the world is evil. God is not a part of the world and a part of what's going on out there anymore. Some schoolboys were asked to keep track of how much time their father spent with them over a 2-week period. Just keep a record of it. When they looked at the results, most of the boys only saw their father at the dinner table during that 2 weeks. Some never saw their father for days at a time. The average time each week for a father and son in this group to be alone was 7.5 minutes a week. That's sad. That's sad. But that's what goes on. People are busy. Everything's put before the family. And we can fall right into that trap. We can be just as guilty as anybody else if we allow that. But how can we, as fathers, teach our children about God and how to obey Him if we don't spend any time together? We can't. We fail. We have to spend time with our family. We have to set that example. So let's be fathers that follow the example of our Heavenly Father. You know, I look back on my father, and there are things that he lacked. He lacked emotion. He didn't show emotion. But his mother and father didn't show emotion either. It was something just passed on. So what an opportunity we're going to have with our parents to be able to be there when they're resurrected to show them it's okay. It's okay to hug. It's okay to shed a tear. Nothing wrong with that. We're learning that. God will help us through the tough times. And as parents, we all face tough times with our children and our grandchildren. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. This is where we go. This is what we have to do. This is how we have to live our life to be a good father. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through your faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Teaching our children, our family about God, and about the world without end, about eternal life, and about our reward, about the soon coming kingdom of God. Our children are precious. We can't let them get away. We can't let them fall to what this world teaches. You know, when they're adults, they're going to make up their mind what they're going to do. But as a father, we have an obligation. Just as Abraham had an obligation to teach his children about God, to teach his children about God's ways, and to pray for their safety and protection, and that God will bless them and help them to stay focused, to stay committed to his way of life. So it's great to have Father's Day. And a heavy responsibility we have as fathers. But you know, we have God to fall back on. When we can't figure it out, and there's been many things, you know, we can't figure out, but God can. So trust God, rely on God, but make sure that we do our part as Abraham did his part and taught his family about God and about God's family and about our future.